Let's go.
Hello, everyone. This is Dawn Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. It's Sunday morning. We're here with the Cherry, all the Cherry family, most of us. And
Adele with a beard?
Yeah. It's a scruffy look, Dad. It's that's the trend. Look? Yeah, it's a scruffy look. It's not quite a beard and all. But so last night I was flicking through the television and there was the classic of Leafs versus Canadians.
And Matthew's got two goals and he does it from different spots. And after he scores, he points at Marner. And because Marner feathers that puck just perfect. And if you've noticed all you kids out there, he doesn't hesitate. Bing! It's on the net.
And he doesn't hot dog it either. Is he American?
He's an American and from Arizona.
And doesn't hot dog. That's pretty good, right?
Well, he did at the start.
Oh.
I had to straighten him out.
So the question is, Dad, is he going to get 50 goals this year?
No, I don't think he'd get 50. There's not enough games. And I like what he says when they ask him, well, they're going in now. The guy shoots. I mean, just has the knack. I just can't understand.
You know what the Marner and Matthews kind of remind me of is Brett Hall and Adam Oates.
Yeah, you remember that there? Brett Hall, what do you get, 72 goals?
Got 70, yeah, he was got 60 goals 1 year, 70 goals next.
And Keenan was the general manager, and he wanted you know, Adam Oates to hang around. Adam Oates leads the world in assist, and he was going to take a pay cut. He was going to give some of his money to keep Adam Oates. And Mike Keenan was the general manager. He said, no, he'd get rid of it. I think he went to Boston.
Adam Oates went to Boston, and Hull was never the same. He didn't. Never. He just let him go.
Keenan was a tough coach, wasn't he?
He was tough everything. But anyhow, Matthews can score and from anywhere. And then Bossy used to score. He was a trigger man, too. But he used to score from in front of the net. And, you know, he what he said was true. It's not as tough as in front of the net. But, boy, I mean, tell a story, Tim, about – I think you were talking about the time you watched him in warm-up in Colorado.
So, like, maybe some of the people don't know Mike Bossy. They think he might be might have been the best pure goal scorer.
Yeah, he was.
In hockey. And he was – we're in Colorado, and the Rockies – practice first, and then the Islanders came on after, and then they practiced. It was the day of a game, so it was just like a late skate. And he took about 100 pucks, and he had it just kind of like inside the face-off circle, kind of at an angle, and he had his back to the net, and he just turned and fired the pucks. Like, didn't just, like, turn around, snapped them, like, at the whole time.
Close in,
and he'd put the puck at different angles, so he had to go adjust. And he must have shot 100 pucks, and then that night, I think he put two by Hardy right in the same spot.
Yeah, went hard.
Well, just turn around, boom, in the net.
So he wasn't aiming for the crossbar, like you were saying one time.
No, Rene Robert used to have a bad habit, like in before practice, you know, a guy skating around. He'd like to hear the ding, ding, and I used to say, don't do that. I said, you know, the puck comes to it, and he hit the post more than any guy I ever knew in my life.
Yeah, that last year in Colorado, I mean, I think he probably went on a streak. He probably hit 3 or 4 goal posts a game. It was just unbelievable.
And that was because he practiced.
No, I used to say, why shoot at the, because he used to like to hear the ding. Rene Robert, he used to play in the French line.
French Connection, yeah.
No, French Connection.
Remember the story about him? Because you and him were pretty good friends with Rene.
Good friends.
He used to go over to the house. And the French Connection, oh my goodness, were they were all good looking. Gil Perreault, who was it? Gil Perreault, Rick Martin,
yeah.
And Rene. So you told Rene, well, when Mom and I were there, that Mom and I thought Rick Martin was the best looking guy out of the whole French Connection. Well, and you know, Dad, I think his feelings really were hurt. And it was
he was better looking than...
He was, but it was embarrassing to Mom and I. I mean, he goes, do you really think he's better looking than me? Well, you know, you're better looking than Gilbert. It was funny.
Remember he came in with some friends and my first blue was just gorgeous.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and my first blue only liked two people. He liked Whitey Smith from Rochester.
Schmatzy. He likes Schmatzy.
Well, I kind of like Schmatzy, but Bobby Schmatz, he likes Schmatzy. But he liked Rene Robert, really liked Rene. I don't know, it must have been his aftershave or something. And he came in the house with three friends, and he snapped his fingers. And Blue, as soon as he heard his voice, Blue came out of the dining room. He used to have bed, used to be over in there. And came in and then, as soon as he heard his voice, and he snapped his fingers. I know we're not getting away. It's not hockey. But he snapped his fingers, and she looked at me and said, who the fuck is this guy? I think he is snapping his fingers
at
me.
Can I tell you a quick story about snapping fingers, Tim? Remember when Jared, when we were filming the movie, and Jared, who played you in the movie, he was trying to get the puck. There was a scene in the movie where he's trying to get the puck from Blue. And I was sort of quality control and knowing what would upset you. And Jared was snapping his fingers at Blue. Drop it. And I said, okay, cut. I said, I just can't let Jared have and snapping his fingers to Blue. Dad would just get too upset. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I said, no one snaps his fingers at Blue. So it was funny.
Well, you know, there's no doubt Marner's playing good and Matthews is playing good. But let me tell you something. If you don't have Freddie Anderson, who I think is the best goaltender in the NHL, which I think in the world, if you don't have a goaltender, you got nothing. And I was looking in the paper today. Can I just read this, Tim?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. The Canadians got outshot, or Canadians outshot the Leafs, and they lose. You got that?
Yeah.
The Sharks win 5-4 over the Blues. The Blues outsuit the Sharks. You got that so far? The Penguins beat the Islanders. This is for Saturday. The Islanders, they outshoot the Pittsburgh. In the first period, it was 16-4. If you don't have a goaltender, you got nothing. I can't admit. The Sabres beat the Devils. And that was a good game. And I'm so happy that, just to jump in, I cheer for Buffalo all the time. I don't know why, but I cheer for Buffalo. I think Eichel and all that, and Kruger, the coach, is having a tough time.
So, let me ask you then, with the goalies being so important.
No, wait a minute. I'm not through yet.
Oh, I thought you were.
No. The Rangers beat the Capitals, and Washington outshoots them so far. How am I doing so far? The Red Wings beat the Florida Panthers, and get this one. The Panthers, Florida, outshoots them 16-9 in the third period, and they still win, the goaltenders. And the Kings beat the Coyotes, and they outshoot them. So what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to get through to you, if you don't have a goal.
Well, even last night, again, this is Sunday morning, Edmonton, Calgary outshot Edmonton almost. I think it was at the end of the second period, it was 33 shots for Calgary and 18 for Edmonton, and Edmonton was winning 6-1.
If you don't have a goaltender, you've got nothing. I don't care. Show me, as I've said many times before, show me a good coach, and I'll show you a good goalie. And you know, Scotty Bowman, he always went to the team. I don't know how he did it to his career. So he always went to the team that had good goalie.
So why don't they, you know, you look at who teams draft and everything. Why don't they ever draft, like, if you're going to build your team around a goalie, why don't they ever draft goalies that are
coming
up?
Goaltenders never, you take that kid in Chicago. What's this kid? Kevin Lanikin. He's 7'2" and 3" as we talk Saturday morning. He's 25 years old. He probably, if he keeps going, he'll be Rookie of the Year. He was in Rockford in the American Hockey League. And,
that's why they don't draft him high, because it takes
you never know.
5, 6 years, 7 years for them to kind of...
Because they always seem to trade for good goalies. They never seem to draft good goalies, any of these teams.
But if that guy keeps going, he'll be rookie.
So let me ask you another question with, you know, these teams are being outshot and everything. Is there such thing as the goalie sort of falls asleep back there and gets cold?
No.
No?
I don't know what happens.
Apply?
Don't ask me. Don't ask me about goaltenders. They're the flakiest people.
Yeah, but I think the one thing that we were talking about the other day, too, is if there's kind of a surprise in the league right now, it's Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Tell about that guy. He learned in the American Hockey League, too. How do you pronounce his name?
Jeremy Colleton. He spent 4 years coaching overseas, and then he went to Rockford in the American Hockey League.
Yeah.
And
where's he from? He's Blackie?
Blackie, Alberta.
Blackie, Alberta. But anyhow, this guy, you'll have Rookie of the Year if the other guy keeps going, and you'll have Coach of the Year. This guy's got to be Coach of the Year because they started out pretty bad.
As you said, Patrick Kane seems to be.
Oh, Patrick, he's interested. And when he's interested, look out, he was the smallest little guy.
So I'll ask you, Dad, you saw him at 18 years old.
Unbelievable. Right?
And you saw Mitch Marner at 18 years old. We saw him at Marner at 15 watching play. But who was smaller, Kane or?
Kane was the smallest guy. I remember he come up, you know how they have them, Hockey Night in Canada, they have the kids come up. And I don't know, he come up alone. He was standing there. He couldn't have been 6 inches wide. And I thought, this guy's going to play in the National Hockey League. And he was a cocky little guy. He's American, eh?
Used to love when you used to do that. You'd go up in the stands and talk to the picks coming up and all.
The kids could be all nervous.
And I love the questions you ask. What's your favorite car? What's your favorite meal? It's interesting. Human interest.
Before the game, it was interesting. It was interesting back in those days.
You didn't analyze it to death.
No, I just asked him. But he was the smallest guy, and I thought he was a stick boy. What is this little guy standing? He was all by himself. And
So the funny thing is, like,
Marner was small, but I mean,
yeah, like we've seen a lot of really good hockey players because we, you know, you and I have been scouting for about 15 years, and you own the Ice Dogs.
Yeah.
But we've seen a lot of really smart hockey players who were really small.
If they survive,
yeah. So Kane or Marner were one, and like Marner was, he had to be maybe 5'6" when he got drafted.
He was so small, he used to put his sweater in the back like Dougie Gilmore.
Yeah, because it would get hanging down below his legs. But I remember one guy that we drafted, a kid named Stephen Donnelly. Ice Dogs. I think he
was really small, though.
He was a little bit
too small. He had a bulldog.
But I think he was the smartest hockey player.
This guy at center ice, what they used to, you couldn't touch him. And I still think I should have kept him. I know he was small. What was his name again?
Steve Donnelly. He played for the Mississauga Reps. And he went and played the junior in Provincial League. And he almost got... He got like almost a point a game.
Yeah, I should have had. I should have kept him. Because I thought he was the smartest guy, and we didn't keep him.
So tell us, Dad, what's the difference between smart and talented?
That's pretty good, smart. I don't know. I don't know. Talented and smart. Smart, you've got it upstairs. I mean, talented, you can be talented and not know
natural.
What you're doing.
Yeah,
you know,
it comes natural.
You come natural. But smart... You got it upstairs, and these kids were smart. Marner was smart that way.
Dan Rudisella, remember Dan Rudisella? He was a walk-on for the Ice Dogs. He was small, and
him how you got it. Wasn't it mom's hairdresser or someone that?
No, it was Elliot Kerr's next door neighbor.
Yeah,
and he said, you know, can you come on? And it was one of the owners. Can you come on? So he go. Well, the owner asked the kid, come on, and he put him with Patrick O'Sullivan.
Yeah, and so now he's walking out with his equipment. I'll never forget this.
Right, but so we're watching him. We go, boy, this guy can really skate.
He gets a hat trick. So he sat in with Patrick Sullivan, who was a pretty cocky guy. We won't go any farther. And I said, no, here he comes. And he says, he's so small that, you know, when am I going to keep him? I says, but he did get a hat trick. You know, Sullivan says, yeah, he got a hat trick with me. Like, but we kept him, and he was the most, and he became the most popular player we had.
And became captain eventually.
Became captain. He was, and his favorite movie was Rudy.
Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy. Yeah. And he was just a little guy.
And then there was the other guy I remember who was small, who made the OHL. All London Knights guys, eh? Like the Hunters, they don't mind, as Dan Ehrlich, I think his name was. Remember he?
Oh,
was,
yeah, and he came out and shook my hand, and he half-dressed. And he was the guy that I went to, Mark Hunter, and I said, why don't you draft this guy? This guy, he says, he's too small. I says, yeah, but he's playing against guys that he's going to be playing against next year.
But what's funny is that he was a London Knight, and Marner was a London Knight, and Kane was a London Knight.
Was it? I never realized all that.
Yeah, but I remember
that. Remember, Tim, can I tell a story? I'll tell a story, okay? We're in Oshawa, Tommy and Chris
Taylor,
and I said, I just love this guy, Chris Taylor, and so I'm sitting there, and I Tim, they're sitting up back of us, the scouts are sitting up back of us, and I said, this guy's going to go from center ice, he's going to go over to the right hand side, he's going to have a fight, and he's just a little guy. Sure enough, he has the fight, and I said, I'd like to have that guy. So make a long story short, we go, we might as well, I think we got him eighth, didn't we, or something?
Yeah, we got him pretty late.
We didn't, let's keep Don happy. He was the smartest guy, he could get draws, he killed penalties, And he had the heart of a lion, Chris Thaler. I'll never forget him.
He was a good guy, too. I remember Dell. I don't know if Dell remembers he was going to play lacrosse, and Chris Thaler gave him a lacrosse stick. And I still, Dell, oh, I was I in your garage the other day, and I still see it there, right? Because we used to shoot the tennis ball for the dogs with
Boy, he was a great kid. I wonder, I get in contact with me now. We're both, I wonder what he's doing now. But he was the smartest guy we ever had. And the best guy, and I killed
remember
him.
Remember, he got in a fight, and the first thing, oh, it was
well,
awful.
We had, it was our training camp with the Ice Dogs, and the first, he gets into a fight with a guy named Matt Coughlin.
Who was how tall?
He was really tall. Yeah. And
Matt's a policeman now.
Yeah, oh. He was a policeman now, right out. And, yeah. And broke Chris's jaw.
In training camp.
In training camp. Nice. But I got to tell a quick story. I know we're getting off the thing. We got a couple of things. But Matt Coughlin, because it was like a little cherub, right? Matt Coughlin.
Yeah.
And when he used to play,
his
cheeks would get rosy. Like, it was unbelievable. So the Ice Dogs, we were kind of having a tough time. We were up in Owen Sound. And we had a couple of fights. And it was a close game. And we had a couple of fights, and there was about 5 minutes to go in the game, and they got a couple of goals, and they were acting like goose. They're jumping around, and the only thing it was, Sean Avery was went on the, in that
yeah,
team.
Yeah, I remember him.
And so there was a face off, and Scott Page, who was our captain, he dropped the gloves with their tough guy and really gave it to him.
Yeah,
so,
I remember.
And so now. Now Owen sounds mad, right? So this one guy who's pretty tough, he says, well, I'm going to go. And he goes, I'll go with that Matt Coughlin, because he was kind of thin.
Yeah.
And he had rosy cheeks. He looked like a little cherub. And Matt could really fight.
Yeah, he could. He was good.
He was a left-hander, and he could really fight. And Matt Coughlin just cleaned this guy's clock.
This
and you see the guy look and say, what happened? Like, this kid looks like he's
a baby face.
Yeah. Well, we won't get into what that guy did. St. Mike's guy knocked all his teeth out. We won't get into that.
Who was it?
I don't know if it was. It was either Keith or Jefferson, one of them that did it.
Tim, I'd like to also talk about, around the National Hockey League, Henry Lundqvist had open-heart surgery, and he's 38 years old, and he was running, and Washington signed. He was with Washington. They signed him, and he had that. Galchenyuk, the guy that plays when he wants to play, Leafs got him. And if he gets, boy, if he wants to play, he got 30-some goals. If you get him in the right frame of mind, looks like Keith can do it. Florida missed the playoffs 5 years in a row. They're 9-2-2. This is Saturday night. Their general manager made some good moves at Bill Zito. But I think the guy that does it is Quenneville. Quenneville's there. He just took a couple of years to get his thing. But Huberdeau.
Quenneville, you had him in Colorado, didn't
had
you?
Had him in Colorado.
As
he
a
was
player,
a defenseman. Yep. He came along with. He was a spare tire that came along with Lanny McDonald.
Oh, isn't that a nice term? Yeah.
But, and he used to play with Mike Kitchen, and him and Mike Kitchen were good pals.
Well, that's not very nice.
And John Gibson is the goaltender, and he's doing a great job. Kitchener Rangers, he played for the Kitchener Rangers. So I just thought going around the league, and I'm going to tell you right now, if that Lanikin keeps going, he'll win Rookie of the Year. And Rockford, now it was Chicago. You were mentioning about it. Tell us the story.
Okay, I'll give you guys a question, a quiz, trivia, and then I'm going to talk about our sponsors and then see if you know. There was a guy who played for Dad, who played for Chicago, he was the last player to score 50 goals in 50 games, okay? And he was the only player to get over 40 goals and still get 300 minutes in penalties.
How many penalties?
He had 44 goals, 300 minutes in penalties, and 26 fights. So you guys think about that. In 1 year. So 81-82, he had 44 goals, 75 points, 300 minutes in penalties, and 26 fights. So I'll see if the audience knows. So we just want to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca, a First Nations owned online casino and sportsbook. And you know how I'm making money on that, Dad? You can bet prop bets. So you bet if if Marner's going to score or McDavid's going to score or Matthews going to score. So I just keep saying, yeah, Matthews and McDavid are going to score and you win all the time.
Well, they always play.
Right. So it's tailored for Canadians. Sign up now and enter the promo Grapes and they will match your deposit up to $500 and you get a $25 sports bet. So that's spreads.ca. So the guy we're talking about, 1 year, he had 44 goals, 75 points, 300 minutes in penalties, and 26 fights. And the next year, this guy played for Dad in Chicago, had 54 goals, 86 fights, 100...
No, how many fights? No, not...
180 penalty minutes, 86 points, 180 minutes, and 15 fights. So in those 2 years...
50, yeah.
In those 2 years, he had 98 goals, 152 points, 448 penalty minutes, and 41 fights.
Imagine what he'd be...
Paymont.
Good guess though.
Came off the top. That's the only. That's,
yeah, we know. Who, I know
not
who it is.
Lanny,
I know who it is. It's Al Secord.
Oh, geez. I should have known that.
Can you imagine that? Like, you may want to say that's Secord, the greatest 2 years that. Ever in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, you don't come. Well, Gretzky outside of Gretzky.
Well. How many fights did Gretzky have? He had 98 goals and in 2 years, 98 goals in 2 years and 41 fights.
And he's a pilot now.
And for the American Airlines, he's a pilot. But you had him in Boston, and you remember in training camp.
Oh, yeah. I had him at training camp. We had an exhibition game, and the rookies, they always have rookies, and you never saw anything. We're away up high. Watching
and so it was Boston and Philadelphia rookies back in 70, would have been 78.
And you never saw such fights in your life. And Bobby Clark, I don't know what he's doing there, but he's there. He's still playing, but he's still there. And we almost got into it right up like it was unbelievable.
You and him almost were throwing punches.
Yeah, and it was really good. I mean, imagine Al Secord what he'd be worth today. Imagine.
Well, tell him. Okay, so Al was, when he scored that 54 goals, and that was 84-85, that's the last time a player who didn't have a helmet scored 50 goals. Now, tell him how he didn't wear a helmet.
Oh.
Why he didn't wear a helmet?
Why he didn't wear a helmet.
You know, I hope his mom and dad listen to this shoe day. Oh, I never was so scared. We're playing Toronto, so he had a big pumpkin head. He really did have, he had a head like Terry O'Reilly, like a great
or
big.
Tie.
Or tie, yeah. Oh, yeah. So
he wore a helmet then.
Yeah, he wore a helmet. So I said to him, like a fool. I had to be a fool. None of us wore helmets at the time. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you don't wear a helmet in Toronto, a hockey night in Canada, I'll start you and I'll play you every power play. Not awful.
What motivation.
Yeah. So he started,
probably took him about 2 seconds, right?
Forget the helmet.
So were you a little worried?
We were in Toronto, hockey night in Canada, and they played the national anthem, and he's at center ice, and he's doing the whole deal, and power play. And he gets into a fight, and a guy named Dave Hutchison, remember Dave Hutchison?
Yeah.
Boy, he was a big, tough guy. And he gets into a fight with him in the corner. I can still see it now. He's in the corner. I said, oh, dear God. And Hutchison's doing pretty good. And I says, oh, boy.
Were you going to send the guys over?
I said, we're going to go, guys, because he's going to get killed here. The rookie and his mom and dad are there. And where is he from?
Espanola. Ontario.
And I asked him not to play with a helmet, and Hutchison just giving it to him. And all of a sudden, he catches Hutchison with the left, and he's a left-hander, right? Catches him right on the jaw. And I told the guys, get ready. And then when he hit him with he could really fight. Yeah. And the thing is about Secord, he was even as a kid. But I'll never forget how afraid I was if he had got hurt. Imagine he got hurt with no helmet.
And, probably would have told people too.
He wouldn't have said anything. He was a good guy.
Oh, yeah. But, good.
So he's the only player to ever score 40 goals and have over 300 minutes in penalties. But looking that up, you know what the other one I really found strange, Dad, was? There was only one player that had scored over 30 goals and had over 300 minutes in penalties. And I would never have guessed he got 35 goals. That was Tiger Williams.
Tiger Williams got 35 goals.
He's got 35 goals, 81-82 with Vancouver.
Holy
shit. Like you never would have thought.
With Vancouver, no less.
Vancouver, yeah.
Gee, I never. Remember, I remember, you know, I remember a lot about Tiger. I remember one time there was a big brawl going on, and Terry O'Reilly was on top of him, and he says, put your head under my shoulder. He says, put your head under his shoulder. He says, why? He says, Cash is going to kick you in the head. Anyhow, I remember, the thing I remember, what he used to ride the stick. He only did that.
He did that once. You know who prompted him to do that?
Who?
Schmatzik, Bobby Schmatz.
Oh, was it?
Who rolled the stick?
Tiger got traded, went to Vancouver, and his first game back in Toronto, he scored.
Oh.
And he rolled this, he kind of got on a stick and he rolled it like a thing. Yeah. And it was, they said.
Must show that about 50 times.
Yeah.
But I remember him get, I remember, what, like we were watching the game, and he got a penalty, and it was an overtime, eh?
Right. So it was, again, it was in the later 70s, and it was Montreal versus Toronto in the quarterfinals. And
he got a board, like it was in the overtime.
Yeah, so it went to overtime in Toronto.
It was nothing. It was a nothing board. Like he would, like it was nothing. Like it was just rubbed the guy, and he got a penalty.
No.
And when you got a penalty against Montreal in those days,
yes,
and
then, we know.
Well, as we know, and they were the greatest team of all time. What did he lose 8 games all year? If you got a penalty against them in overtime, they were going to score, and sure enough, they scored. And Tiger went absolutely bananas after, eh?
Yeah.
And the only reason he stopped, one of the reasons he stopped, Larry Robinson, the first time and only time I ever saw, he went and grabbed him. They all grabbed him. And who was the referee?
Bob Myers was
your favorite.
Bob Myers. It just happened that Bob Myers had the game where it was too many men on the ice.
Well, yeah,
we deserved that one. But I'll never forget him calling a penalty on John Rattel for high sticking. John Rattel for high sticking. He says, "Grave." He says, "Don." He said, "Donnie, all I did was protect myself." But my, well, anyhow, never mind. But Tiger Williams came 35 goals. I never thought he got 35 goals.
Yeah, 35 goals. So there you go, Al Secord. Everybody, I just think that would be the two greatest years back to back.
Do you know, remember Dad, remember the, you always talk about his cousin used to work for me with the Groomobile. Do you remember that? It was,
no.
Remember, well, remember you said that there was a girl that came over to the house and she had those two Afghan dogs.
Oh,
going crazy.
Yeah, goofballs.
That was his cousin.
Oh, yeah.
That had the Afghans in the car going crazy.
I remember we come out and I was taking Blue for a walk and we walked by the car and the two Afghans went nuts.
They just went insane.
And Blue looked up at me and said,
really? Afghans?
Yeah, Afghans. They went nuts, eh?
Yeah.
Anyhow, I just let, before we go, and I know we're getting, because I have to say, the gloves they wear now, and here I am with the gloves again, but you'd think the owners would get together. Simmons, he's out with the thumb now. What is he out with, 6 weeks?
Wayne Simmons, broke his thumb. And it was just a clearing. Like it wasn't like he blocked a shot. He was just kind of going up, and the guy fired the puck out, and it hit him in the glove.
The gloves
and broke his thumb.
You can't believe the gloves we used to wear. And Gretzky did pretty good with big gloves. And Bobby Orr, the greatest hockey player who ever lived, had big gloves too. Derek Ryan of Calgary, he's out. I mean, imagine the money that's costing. We have Peter Mazarek with the Canes, the goalie. Well,
that doesn't count.
We don't count that.
But still, though, it broke his thumb.
Kirby Dach, good little player for the Hawks. He was a good little player. He was having a good year.
He was the one. He did his wrist in the World Juniors.
Remember that?
Oh, right.
He had the short gloves and then he popped his wrist.
And Brandon Dubinsky for the Blue Jackets. He's got a broken thumb. And Simmons, he's out. And the latest guy is Jacob Tuba. He's out now with a broken thumb. The gloves are like kid gloves now. I mean, and you'd think the owners would say everybody wears a protective on there, but they don't. They do it after they break a hand or something. I just can't believe the gloves. And when I'm watching the games, I see the little wee gloves.
And they're short too. They don't. Not only do they not protect the thumb, and you know what? The wrists too. Yep. They're short.
They'll never
tell a story about Bobby Orr and his gloves.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's unbelievable when you told
me that. Bobby Orr used to have gloves that look, you know, I never looked at them. But he used to have a like a glove sewn on the outside of his gloves. That's how he could handle the puck so good.
So it was almost like he cut the palm out.
Yeah,
and then put almost like a golf club or something.
Yeah,
like
and that. You know who you saw that? And Park did it. Brad Park, another great defenseman. I had both of them. And so you want me to tell what happened to his gloves and everything?
Yes, I wasn't going to ask if you wanted to say.
Well, I will, but I saw his gloves.
We talk a lot at the golf tournament. We talk about a lot of stuff, you know, killing
time. Well,
I
went to him and I said, where's all your equipment, you know, and so he said, I threw it out. You threw it out, all the equipment, you know. He used to have special, he saw the cat peed in it. One of his cats peed and he threw it out. Hey, why didn't you get it cleaned or something?
Yeah. Do you know what? I could get that for an auction now.
Yeah. Yeah. And he had gloves. He had everything. And the cat peed on his gloves. Yeah.
Nice.
So we'll wrap it up now, Dad. And so just the thing. So the last question, everybody's talking. Do you think Matthews is going to get 50 goals?
Well, he'd get 50 goals. It was a regular season. But I don't think he'll get 50 goals. As he says, and he's pretty good. He says they're going in now. He's shooting. I can't believe that everything he shoots goes in. No, I don't think he'll get 50 goals. I don't think there'll be enough games.
He's the one thing, like watching him last night when he scored on Carey Price the first one, I remember you were talking to Phil Esposito and you said, Phil, what's the trick of, because I think of the one player that kind of gets lost in NHL history of great goal scorers is Phil. Because he...
76 goals?
Because he broke all those barriers. And stuff.
And then he got 65. He got 76 goals. And then the next year, he got 65 goals, Phil Esposito. And he said, well, you had a bad year. 65 goals. You know what Phil said? We'll end with what he said. They were saying, Phil, you don't look when you shoot. He says, and Bossy, that story of Bossy's is pretty good, too. He's, well, Annette hasn't moved in 100 years. I don't think it'll move for me.
Yeah. Well, that's what he says. It's not how hard your shot is. He says it's not how accurate it is. It's how quick you get it off your stick. And that's what he said.
And Matthews, right now, boy, nobody's... the only guy, the greatest hockey player playing today is McDavid. There's no doubt about that. But, boy, I tell you, you got to be... There's no shooter in the hockey today. Like the way he gets off the puck is like Matthews.